on the edge with April Mahoney brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome home, brains. How are you? We're going to go inside. We're going to go do some deep, deep work today. We're going to talk about the subconscious mind, the other 95%, that board of directors that's running around in the back of your head. We always think that that first 5%, or at least we'll confirm with our guest today, if it's 5% or more, is really what leads us and guides us, and that we have no control on the subconscious mind. You know, a lot of us are afraid of hypnotherapy, even the word being hypnotized, because we feel that we're not in control. And we don't have to be in control all the time, brains. Sometimes we need a facilitator. A lot of times we need a guide, somebody who's going to walk us through that door to that next rite of passage. Be not afraid. Our guest today is going to give us the real deal on hypnotherapy, a little bit about Reiki, neurolinguistics. It's going to be fabulous. So get ready to open up your mind and your brain for Maureen Pisani. She is amazing, born on the island of Malta. She has experienced several chapters in her life. She's an author, a motivational speaker. She has tons of experience. She has mastered level 4 in all 4 modalities, hypnotherapy, guided imagery, neurolinguistics, and Reiki energy work. Without further ado, brains, please scoot over, get comfortable, or maybe lay down on the couch as Maureen takes us through a guided journey to the subconscious mind. Welcome to the Edge, Maureen. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on, April.
Absolutely. This is going to be super fascinating because, like I said, there's so many people that are not exposed to this, or they have a negative connotation about what hypnosis is and the process and, you know, going down, a feeling of not being in control. Before we get started, though, can you tell me what led you down this path? What opened your door to your rites of passage?
Well, you know how we have ups and downs in life?
Yes.
I had a very bad injury. People usually get carpal tunnel from typing on the computer, where the wrists need a quick little minor surgery and off they go with the rest of their life.
Right.
I got injured. I hurt my elbows. I ended up with something called cubital tunnel syndrome. And after 10 surgeries, 5 on each elbow, me on 100% disability, Social Security, lifetime supply of medication, and bye-bye. And I was 30.
What?
And that was, yes. That was not the outcome I wanted in my future. Then I stumbled on hypnosis. And a long story short, 2 sessions of hypnotherapy, and the pain was resolved.
Really?
For real. This mess took 6 years of my life, 10 surgeries, and over 25,000 pills. I did the math. And 2 sessions of hypnosis.
Okay, so what drove you to even try hypnosis for a physical ailment? You know, most people would associate hypnosis and hypnotherapy with a psychological, maybe a PTSD or trauma, but not a physical ailment. How did that surface for you? That's interesting.
Well, I was trying. I'm from the island of Malta, so I'm the epitome of an immigrant. I wanted to come to America, the land of opportunity, which, by the way, it is, and I am proud to state any day that I am an American citizen.
And well, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thank you so much. Because I can't say that, you know, without feeling it every time I say it. So for me to be labeled 100% disabled was ever imagined. And at the time, I was trying my best to recreate something. I would not give up. I would not just, you know, throw in the towel and die. and I stumbled on hypnosis. And at the time, I literally had nothing else to lose. I had lost it all. 80% grip strength on the right, 75 on the left. To hold a pen was a chore. So when it was offered to me, you know, like, go give it a shot.
Right.
I was open. I was like, okay, let's do this.
Wow.
Did I hope? Yes. Did I expect any of that result that fast? No.
Wow. Well, I'm going to self-disclose a little bit. I'm not going to tell too much, but I have checked into that subconscious, that other 95%, and let me tell you, brains, it is off the chain. It is introducing yourself to a whole new you. I mean, you know, your past life, your future life, your your presence, calming yourself, healing yourself, knowing yourself, and aspiring for more, casting a wide net. Tell me a little bit about your training and your schooling when it comes to hypnotherapy, because you didn't just get hypnotized, you got mesmerized and took it up as a profession.
Absolutely. See, the one thing, and all of the audience, when you're choosing a hypnotherapist, I really need you to do this for your own safety. Check their education. It's not a regulated industry. So if somebody takes a weekend course, they can actually call themselves a hypnotist. So for me, I vouched to give my best to my clients. Usually somebody who works in hypnosis has a tandem modality they use with it. So it's usually hypnosis and Reiki energy, or hypnosis and guided imagery, or hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming. And because I wanted to give my best, I'm at the master's level in all four, and I've been teaching hypnotherapy for over 10 years, and I am a trainer in neurolinguistic programming. So I invested in me to be able to give my best to my clients.
Right. And you've also authored about 9 hypnotherapy books, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. And 25 hypnotic CDs?
Yes. Man, you did your homework there. Good.
Absolutely. That's what we do on the edge. We want to magnify our brains. We want everybody to know what you're doing and how to get in contact with you. Now, let me see. You do group hypnosis, hypnotherapy, what is neuro-linguistic programming? What is that?
Neuro is thinking. Linguistic is words. And basically how you think and how you speak creates your life.
All right.
So when we think, like every night I do something. Tonight, I'll think of today and I'll say, so how was today? Today was great. And tomorrow, instantaneously, the second I think of tomorrow, oh, tomorrow's easy. Now, if you saw my planner, you would certify me with how booked I am. But the funny part is, tomorrow is always easy. And then when I wake up in the morning, tomorrow begins easy.
I love the quote that I have in one of my books, is that today is your tomorrow. Let me see, how does it go? Today is your tomorrow, and tomorrow will become your yesterday. So I totally understand where you are. Now, when you say therapeutic guided imagery, what is that?
We think in pictures. Every memory, every story, every hope, every wish is pictures. And the brain, we have the left brain that is very logical, and we have the right brain that's very creative. So when I put somebody in a hypnotic
state, I live on the right
state,
side.
Good, good. That's fantastic. The right brain is very creative and symbolic. You've heard the phrase, the fear of the unknown.
Yes.
And when somebody wants to make a change, you know, lose 20 pounds, stop smoking, make more money, find the best spouse, the best mate, because they haven't achieved it yet, it's the unknown. So with the therapeutic guided imagery, I walk my clients through a journey, a visual journey, where they explore, discover, and luxuriate in this new space of being. So they get to see themselves 25 pounds lighter, feeling safe. They get to see themselves as a permanent non-smoker, feeling safe. They get to see themselves happily in love, if that's what they want, while still safe. And then when we introduce it to the mind, Then, because the mind can't tell fact or fiction, it's already there, and then recreating that in reality becomes immensely easier.
Hmm. Wow. Let's explore a little past life regression. A lot of people have a fear of that because I think the first thing that pops into their mind is, how did I die? Oh, God, was I shot? Was I, you know, did I die of a horrible disease? But what they don't realize is, what did that life possess? What was that mission? What was that first part of your journey? Doesn't matter how you transitioned, because I'm a firm believer that it is an evolution and we keep transitioning until we get it right, until we land on that fluffy pillow in the sky. But people are afraid of that. Tell us a little bit about what past life regression is and how it works.
Okay. Sure. Past life regression is built on the notion of reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is this. If somebody doesn't believe in reincarnation, they won't experience it because they're not open to it.
Wow.
If somebody is curious and says, you know, maybe it does or maybe it doesn't, at least they're open and we can give it a shot. The notion of reincarnation is that we start as a free and limited spirit. We have a contract of what lessons we want to learn in that incarnation. And then we come down as humans and have the incarnation. And according to, think of signing up for a course in college. You choose your classes for the year. So we choose our life lessons for that incarnation. And then if we refuse to learn a lesson, then it's relayed over to the life, the next life, the next incarnation. Now, there are things where some people choose to have a past life regression just for the sake of, like, going to the movies. Let's see who I was.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are others who come with an irrational fear, like somebody breaking out in a cold sweat because there's a bathtub full of water or a sink full of water, where when they go through that past life regression, it turns out they drowned. Or they have inexplicable pain. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them physically. They've gone through all the tests. They've done all the tests. And then when you take them through a past life regression, the wound is where the pain is. Or there's this connection with a person and they can't explain it. Or the same thing keeps happening, like choosing the wrong person or the wrong personality keeps showing up in your life, or the same experience keeps happening. In a past life regression, by the way, we only go back to humans. We might switch gender, but always humans. In a past life regression, you get those answers that you really couldn't quite put your finger on. I had a client, she gave me the date, the location, and her name in that past life, went home and Googled and confirmed everything.
Wow.
So for
wow.
them, it's very soul-soothing. Now, one of the things I do is that we don't just do the past life regression for, you know, giggles. We do the lesson and the experience to learn. So as we come out of that experience, I link it into transferring over the, you know, the phrase, if I only knew then what I know now?
Yes.
So I link in all those lessons that they've just uncovered. And by the way, I record everything for them, so they have documentation of it. They speak out loud. They tell me everything. They stay in hypnosis. They feel everything. They can choose to experience the death transition. Some do, some don't, according to their wish. And then once we get all of that, then I blend it into this life.
And so how is that beneficial to a person to know their path in that much detail? Is that how does that benefit them in the current life?
Well, the first thing is, again, in the notion of reincarnation, we have that we have soul groups, meaning usually five souls they just relay through time together. So if you have, let's say, for all intents and purposes, I had a past life regression with a person in my life, let's say right now, my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But in a past life, we were brother and sister.
Okay.
And in the past life, he did something to me that today he feels that at the time when he did it, he felt guilty about. And then in this life, he will overcompensate with goodness. He just does it in this life because he thinks he wants to do it. But in reality, it's the balancing out of karma.
All right.
But it could also be opposite. It could be that I did something bad to somebody, and now they're doing something bad to me to balance it out, my punishment.
Mm.
And
so
there are
is
situations.
Punishment
well,
is real.
Evening out of energy. Yes, there's an evening out of energy.
Okay.
Where if somebody feels like, let's pretend, I'm never going to put people on the spot, so let's pretend I gypped somebody out of something, you know, three lifetimes ago,
mm-hmm.
and our pathways cross again in this life. They might put me to task for me to repay that debt.
Mm. Wow.
And then there are situations where loved ones, husband, wife, souls, reconnect, soulmates, reconnect.
Yes, I've got
soulmates,
one.
Soulmates, there you go. So soulmates,
I've got one.
Not only are romantic, but if you're a soulmate, or some people call them twin flames, those flames reconnect because the attraction is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like from two halves becoming whole.
Yes, ma'am.
So when
yes,
that happens,
ma'am.
You know, at the very depth of your soul, you know
yes.
it's real.
Yes. Let me ask you a little bit about meditation. I really
uh-huh.
believe in meditation. People can call it meditation if you choose to call it awareness, if you call it being silent, if you call it prayer. But it's going into that deep space, into that space of where you're silent.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think two things. Number one, it's so powerful because in my meditations, I had one the other day, and I started cracking up laughing. Oh, my God, I said something to myself, and I heard my subconscious mind talk to me, and the universe just embraced me. And, you know, it's supposed to be so serious and so solemn, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're just supposed to be quiet. And I just started cracking up laughing. I've had other meditations where I've just cried like a baby, uncontrollably sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of them, I have learned. And there's
uh-huh.
always been something, and I love to talk to myself. I tell my brains all the time, I'm the best source of information for me. Because I'm smart and I listen to myself.
Good.
But when it comes to hypnosis, I think that's another fear that people have is that subliminal suggestion. They think that you're going to have them barking like a dog or quacking like a duck mm-hmm. or, you know, they really don't understand what that is. So when you have someone in a trance-like state, what is the body going through?
Okay. Well, first things first. TV and movies will exaggerate and manipulate everything and anything they can for the sales and the ratings. So 90% of what you see on TV and movies is completely wrong. In hypnosis, I can never force anyone to do anything that is not within their morals, ethics, and beliefs. They will never be stuck in hypnosis. They will never lose control. If I'm hypnotizing you and I say something you don't like, you open your eyes, you say your name out loud, you're out of hypnosis. End of story.
Wow.
Now, physiologically, hypnosis is a very soothing space. It's where things go down back to reset within normal limits. So when it comes to, by the way, we're in hypnosis twice a day, naturally, instinctively, each and every one of us. You know when you wake up in the morning, you haven't even opened your eyes yet, but your mind's awake?
Yep.
And then it takes you a few moments to sort of get back into the room to really wake up?
Yes.
That's hypnosis. That's a light hypnotic state. At the end of the day, when you're watching that movie and your eyes are incredibly heavy and you can barely keep your eyes open, and you're telling yourself, okay, 5 more minutes, and then you nod off and you lose the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Right.
You've been in a state of hypnosis, and then you drift off to sleep and back. So
right.
Technically, hypnosis is what we call a theta. The football players in the locker room before the game. They're ready, they're hyper, they're ready to just crush and kill the opposition. Beta is when everything is clicking, everything. I mean, the sales are going in, the traffic is all green lights, meetings go on time, it's sweet. Theta is this little dreamy, drowsy space. Delta is sleeping, as in out cold. So when I take a person into hypnosis, the only side effect is relaxation.
Hmm.
That's it. Nothing
really
happens. I mean, it's actually quite anticlimactic because, you know, in the movies they drop like dish rags and they're like completely
right.
like Dumby, right? They're like puppets.
Right, right.
And in reality, it's soothing. It's calming. I have people, I tell my clients, I have people who turn into mush because they just relax so much they have no idea. I have others who take a power nap, and I have others who just sit in the recliner and listen to my voice. And then they'll call me and thank me for adding things to their recording. Now, I didn't add anything. What happens is they lose my voice. So they drop into a deeper state. They disconnect from my voice, and then they lighten back up and reconnect and listen. So those people that tell me, oh, thank you, you know, I didn't hear that piece, or you added it afterwards, I'm like, it's okay. It's very, very soothing. And what I'm doing is, like you mentioned in the beginning, I'm upgrading their unconscious programming to match what they want today.
I want to ask a little bit about Reiki. I've had Reiki, and it is the best massage and energy movement and balancing that you can have. It's energy massage, and you're fully clothed. Can you tell people really where did Reiki evolve, and how popular is it, and the practice of it? What is that about?
Sure. If you think about traditional Chinese medicine that's 5,000 years old, they talk about the life force called qi.
Mm-hmm.
If a person is alive, when they die and you go and see them in the wake or the viewing, the body is the same, but there's a very significant difference. The body that looks like Uncle So-and-so really doesn't look like Uncle So-and-so because there's this difference you can't quite put your finger on. And the difference is there's no life force in the core.
Yeah, and it's fully embalming fluid.
Exactly. So when it comes to Reiki, Reiki was initially started by Dr. Usui in Japan, and I have a direct training line from Dr. Usui to me.
Wow.
And it's built on the chakras. Now, chakras are energy centers within us. So
yes.
Think of those Christmas decorations that sort of spin on themselves. And if the chakra is, and there's seven, so there's the base of the body, that's the root, the base, which is red energy, which is stability, solidity, and sensuality. Then you have the second one, that's two fingers width below your belly button, which is creativity. That's orange. Then you have the third one in between the rib cage called the solar plexus, and that's self-identity. That's yellow. So that's all our strengths and the I ams. Then you have the fourth, which is the heart, and that's green. That's all love. Then you have the fifth, that's the throat, and that's blue, and that's all communication.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the sixth, that's the third eye in between your eyebrows, and that's indigo. And then you have the crown that's about two finger widths above your head, and that's according to some violet and according to some white, and that's your connection to source.
Mm.
Each one has a function. Each one affects us. And people don't come and tell you, my third chakra is sluggish or blocked or reversed. They tell
right.
you, you know, life isn't quite clicking for me. I'm having trouble in this area. So with pendulums, we get to check, and the client, of course, with their eyes open, sees. We check the chakras to see how they're functioning. Pendulum will connect with the energy from the chakra, and if it's going clockwise, then it's open. If it's going counterclockwise, it's reversed, and you will not believe it. When you put the pendulum on a chakra and it's blocked, it'll just stay plumb. It won't
wow.
move. And I can't make it stop. It stops by itself.
Mm.
And then we do the process where we give Reiki energy, which is basically life force energy, and we are the vessel. We just receive and pass through. And if you think of a jar with pebbles, and I'm pouring sand, the sand will flow in between the pebbles to find all the nooks and crannies. So there are methods where you can do the energy per chakra, and you can also do Reiki from the bottoms of the feet or the top of the skull, and trust that the energy will go exactly where it needs to go. And what happens is after the session, a lot of people do Reiki hands-on, as in touching the client. I personally don't. I keep my hands about 6 inches above them. Because if anybody expects me to relax and they're touching me and I don't know where they're going to touch me next, I really can't quite relax.
But also,
so
like you said, you know, when being a vessel, you have to be careful because you're a conduit. And you
exactly.
are conducting energy. And so you have to be careful as to what you bring into you. And what,
correct.
You know, a lot of people can't channel that energy all the way through.
So with this way, the body of the client receives the energy. After the session is done, I again check the chakra. So they see the before and after. And they see the difference. And when we get the chakras in alignment at full throttle in the right direction, then their life changes. Their energy level changes, their behavior
yes,
in that particular area of their life.
Yes, it does. I want to ask you a couple quick questions. Oh, my God, I could talk to you forever. You're going to promise me right now that you're going to come back, right? This is so fascinating. But I want to talk to you a little bit about colors. When I meditate, sometimes I feel like in my mind I'm on an LSD trip. I see all these fantastic colors I have never seen before. Where is that stimulating from? Is that awakening the subconscious mind? I've never had that explained to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's from the subconscious mind. Two, you have to look into, one, what do the colors mean to you? Because it could be that teal is your favorite color, so you seeing teal is just a signal from your mind that you're happy.
Right.
But it could also mean, according to the color, it could also mean a chakra. As in, you know, if you always get orange is creativity. So if you're thinking about a program and you're seeing orange, that means you're going to be using creativity to create your program. And it could
right.
also be a message from somebody who's already gone home.
Wow.
So it could be a lot
okay.
of things.
All right. Well, that's good. And I want to ask you, before we conclude our interview, I want our brains to be able to get in contact with you, to have a session with you. I would love to host a session to just give people an experience with your level of expertise on what hypnosis is and really kind of so they can have a hands-on experience. Can you give us some
mm-hmm.
information on how we can get in contact with you, get your books, get your tapes, and let us know if you have any special offers?
Oh, sure, of course. So the easiest way to get in contact with me is text me or call me on the phone at 619-252-2253. My website is prothrivesbh.com. So P-R-O-T-H-R-I-V as in Victor, E, S as in Sam, B as in Boy, H as in Harry.com. You can contact me through the website as well. Yes, I do group sessions. Yes, I do individual sessions. I do individual sessions in person, and or Zoom, phone, FaceTime, or Facebook Messenger, audio or video.
Wow.
I can be everywhere and anywhere you need me to be. My mission is to help as many people as I can, because I know on a personal level how bad it was when they washed their hands of me. So if I can make a difference, I specialize in pain management. So whether it's chronic, emotional, mental, financial, if you have too much money at the end of the month, if you have too much month at the end of the money, then that's pain, right?
Right, right.
So I always
right.
function on helping with a diminishing of pain.
Right.
So call me, send me a text, find me on Facebook, again, ProThrive on Facebook. Send me messages. I'm in this to make a difference in the world. And the more people I help, the better I feel and the better the world will be.
Well, I wish I could send you to Washington. That would be a start. Thank you again, Maureen. I mean, you have just been a wealth of information. You are just so fun and charming. I could just fall asleep there on your couch and know that you would guide me to a place that I needed to be. Do you promise me in my brains that you will come back and talk to us again on the Edge and give us more detailed information?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Thank you so much. Brains, please, go back and listen to other Edgy conversations. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. We want you to be in. You don't know what you don't know. Couldn't you imagine the possibilities of achieving your ultimate goal and gaining access to your subconscious mind? The other 95% that's running around in your brain, tapping into the untapped well of information, power, courage, belief, knowledge, to be able to edit and filter, to hear the voice that guides you. Go back and listen to other Edgy conversations, because you know your girl is here for you. I'm here to make it do what it do. So until I talk to you again, promise me that you are going to be the very best person that you can be, and that you are going to awaken your subconscious mind. Thank you, Maureen. I think you're awesome, Sauce. I want to have you back on the Edge, okay?
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Brains.